live from the Sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, an inspiring today word that will help you battle through today's challenges. Listen and enjoy this exciting message and let the presence of the Lord work through you to reach the world for Jesus Christ. True love, pure worship, real answers.
Hallelujah. You are an awesome God, and we thank you for what you do here in Bethel, not just here, but across this region, Father God, and what you're doing in this state. Father, you are a mighty God, and we thank you. Move and do what only you can do, Father. I even ask that today this message will be right on point in what you want. I will say no more, I will say no less than what you give me. So, Father God, have your way today, and we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Pastor had told me, he said, you know, brother, it'd be good for you to follow up sometime on praise, because I've done a lot of messages on praise and worship, and I think it's always good to come back to that. And so I did have a praise and worship message prepared just to do a teaching on praise and worship, and I thought I would end it with doing some more. But God just had me all over the place and gave me a piece to just say, to just flow, and to share what he gave me. He gave me a couple scriptures, and I kid you not, not until as we were in worship did he tell me exactly how to attack it. And so I hate it. I hate it when he does that, because I really do want to make sure the word is what he wants, and that I'm not telling you something that's off and doing something that just feels good to Otis. And so it's difficult, because you really want to make sure you come to the service prepared. And I had a totally different message. But the Lord is good. And we're going to start out in Luke 14. Now, I will tell you this. I want this to be a message that is uplifting, because we've had a lot happening. It just seems like there's heaviness going around. And you know what? We know God is God. We know he's in charge. But doggone it, why are we fighting so much? There's still so many things we have to scrap against. And forgive me if I throw slang in there. Sometimes I think everybody knows my slang. But when we get into a good fight, there's so much it seems we have to fight. And so I was hoping this would be a message that is one to uplift you, and that is what it is designed to do. But at the same time, God did not allow me to get away from remind them there's a cost. He wants you to know you are going to win. But there's a cost. And so I'm going to do a little exercise, because he told me this, and I'm kid you not, while I was doing worship, he told me have each person go to five different people, and you're going to say, I'm a winner. You're going to go to five different people, and you're going to say, I'm a winner. You're going to say it five times. Amen. Five is the number of grace. I didn't think that up as I heard it. I just heard, tell them five people. Go to five people. I do know five is the number of grace. Amen. When you think about the offices in the Bible, the gifts when Jesus ascended, he gave five gifts. Five gifts had to follow him in order to complete the whole work of Jesus. We got the apostle, we got the prophet, we got the pastor, we got the teacher, we got the evangelist. That's grace. When grace is operating in the church, all those things are going to be happening, and we're going to get the benefit of all those things. I don't want to get away from where I was just at, though. That's a little rabbit trail. So here's what we're going to do. You're going to get up, go to five people, and you're going to say, I'm a winner. Listen, don't wimp out on it. Please do not try to say, I'm going to do it just a couple times. Do not say, I can win if. Say, I'm a winner. Go to five people, okay? Everybody, get up. I'm a winner. I'm a winner. Amen. I'm a winner. I'm a winner. Amen. Good to see you. Okay. I am a winner. It's good to see you too. I'm a winner. Hallelujah. All right. Now, sometimes when we're given little exercises like that, it's like, oh, this is silly. But a lot of what we sometimes do not grab hold of has so much to do with who we see ourselves being. I am a winner. I am a winner. I am a winner. Let me tell you something that happened to me the other day at work. I was at work, and on Monday coming up, tomorrow, we have an audit that's going to be happening. The auditor of the state is coming. And I've dealt with this woman for over 4 years. So one of my workers come in and say, hey, I've got everything set up for Monday because I'm going to be in Columbus at a committee meeting. But they said, she came in and said, I've got everything lined up for Monday. I've got Lisa set up. And I'm like, Lisa, who's Lisa? And I will tell you, I've been feeling kind of weird the other day because I was taking some medicine. But I said, who's Lisa? She's looking at me like, Lisa. Lisa McInnes. I said, who? I dealt with this person for the last 4 years. That name I've got in my phone right now. If I tell Siri to call Lisa McInnes, it's going to call Lisa McInnes. But I had no idea who she was talking about. She said, Otis, Lisa McInnes, the auditor, she's going to be, oh, yeah, cool. I got you. I'm right with you. Well, see, what happened is when she walked in the door, she was telling me about Monday, and I know we got a new worker starting Monday, and so I was expecting her to tell me about this new worker who she's going to do orientation on. So even in the framing of what I was thinking she was approaching me about, even when she told me something that was so common to me, I did not hear it. She told me a name that was so common, I know it. But because I saw her approaching and I said, she's going to tell me something about orientation, I'm thinking, we didn't hire Elisa. And she had to straighten me out. Our minds are incredible. Now check it out. If we can get ourselves to really believe what the Bible says, I am a winner. I am a winner. I am a winner. I am a winner. If I get myself set on that, when something comes to me that contradicts me winning, I will not see it. I will not hold on to it. I will discard it. Because it doesn't look like what I've taught my mind to look for. I taught my mind to see winner. And I am a winner. So when I fail, it's not me. It's an exception. It's easy to discard those. It's, oh, that'll never happen again. We usually do that when we do something awesome. If I threw the basketball all the way down to the other end of the court and swish, I don't normally say, that's what I expected. I say, oh my gosh, did you see that? I'll never do that one again. Right? Now, if I had missed it, they'd be like, well, what do you think? You're trying to throw it to half the whole basketball court. Well, when we start getting our minds set, I am a winner. I know it sounds simple. It's easy to accept other people winning. It's easy to say that about other people. When it comes to us, it's hard to accept winning. And many of us, right now, we look like we're losing. And I ask God, why are we in this situation? Why does it seem so hard sometimes? Why don't people praise sometimes? Sometimes I say, well, is it information? Maybe it's not clarity in how it's being given. Maybe it's too loud, the music. Maybe it's too soft. I go through all those different things. And then at some point I have to say, and at times God has told me, they're tired. They've been hit a lot. And I'm like, okay, it's tough. I realize it. And we're at a point right now where, you know, the flash is not coming. You know, the flash, boom, that, oh, yeah, that's not coming. Not until we lay the footwork and just do the stuff that's not special. Doesn't look special, but it's the foundation. Amen? So here in Luke, I know I gave all that as a startup, and I promise I won't keep you. I won't keep you long. I won't keep you any longer than what God has for me to keep you. In Luke 14, they get scared when you say that. Luke 14 to 25, this is what God took me to. Before he gave me any other scripture, he took me to this. And I said, well, that's not on praise and worship. I know what Pastor Rob told you to do. That's cool. Keep that. I actually have another right here. This is a whole lineup on praise and worship. Just in case God says, okay, you did that. Now you can jump over there. But this is the hook. This is the scripture he took me to. So I want us to see it. The goal is winning, but there's a cost involved. And it's about being good disciples. So as we're looking here in 14, verse 25, it says, now a great multitude went. Oh, when you get there, tell me. Say amen. 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 Good. Now great multitudes went with him, and he returned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. I'm like, Lord, I said I want to say good stuff. I want to cheer them up. I want to say something that gives them a boost. He says this. Then he goes on. And whoever does not bear the cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king goes to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. He changes his mind. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciples. And 34 and 35, I'll hold up for a minute. I don't want to hit there yet. So as I'm going through this, I'm like, well, God, gee, what are you saying here? Why is that? That's such tough language. Because you're talking about following Christ, but he says, if you do not hate, and I don't allow my kids to say hate, but if you do not hate your father and mother, your brother and sister, your wife, and yes, even yourself, you will not be able to follow me. And, you know, so he started speaking to me about this. And understand, I'll hit the rest of that because he does talk about considering the cost, starting a journey, not being able to finish. All of those things, the very beginning of that is you've got to hate all these other things in light of him if you're going to be successful. If you're going to win, if you are going to be a winner, you've got to be prepared to hate yourself. Now, understand, we understand in the context of what he's saying here, he's not really saying you need to go around hating yourself, hate your mom and hate your dad. But he is saying, in comparison with how you feel about me, I must be paramount. I must be the top, the cream of the crop. You've got to be ready to go when I say go, and you cannot allow distractions from anyone else. I know it's mama saying that you should be a doctor. I know it's grandma saying you should be a policeman like your granddaddy or any. But he's saying all those connections, all those things you hold dear, you must hate them if you're going to follow me. Because the journey to follow me is going to push you to, at some point, you're going to spend yourself. I had never heard this. Okay, as long as I've been saved, I've heard this scripture over and over. But he gave it to me today as to say we're running out of resources where you will be spent. You can follow Christ for a season, and there's a piece of you that will be able to get you there. But it might just get you maybe 3/4 of the way. You can do it in your own power, but there's going to come a point where you're going to have to understand you don't have enough fuel in and of yourself to get the job done. So if you love yourself too much, you're going to stop in the middle. And people watching, they're going to see you, and they're going to say, did he not consider what he was doing? Did he not think about how far he had to go? So what God's telling us is on the front end, when we make it sound so easy to become a Christian, it is. I mean, you do just have to confess. I understand that. But if you're going to live successfully, you're going to have to stop and consider the fact that you can no longer outlive God if you're going to do what you're supposed to do. And just so I don't have you confused, I see some faces. Some of you are with me. Some of you are not. So I'll go into the rest of the scripture. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to hit this and make it just a little bit more plain. Because what I ask when I'm reading the scripture is, why do you put this piece here, and why is this piece associated with this piece? It doesn't make sense, and he has to put it in context for me. So I'm looking here at the 26th verse, and it says that if you do not hate your mother and your father, your wife and children, brother, sister, yes, even yourself, right? You cannot be my disciple. You have a cross to bear in 27. Or if you do not bear that cross, you cannot be my disciple. Then he goes right into, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish? If you really think about what you have to do for God, and you don't have the whole picture, but on the front end, if you really knew all that God had for you to do, you got to come to a point and say, listen, you know, I could get some of this done. But what he's given me is bigger than me. And if I am so stuck on doing it my way, if I am so stuck on doing it the way my family told me to do it, if I am so stuck to pleasing my wife, I better consider cost, because my wife might be the thing that would cause me not to get it done. There's a time where you're going to have to tell your wife or husband, hey, hold up for a minute. God's saying this. And you got to bring them into alignment. But God is aware in this very scripture that he's sharing with us, you better consider the cost. Because what I have for you, grandma, grandpa, grandmama, you know, sisters, uncles, whoever, they can't get you there. So you better get to a point where you're okay, even if they decide they're walking out on you. Because I've got to be number one. If you let me be number one, I will get you there. You'll be able to say, I'm a winner, and know you're going to get it done. Amen? So now, we go through all this where he's talking about considering the cost. They were going out to war. You got this army you're going to fight that's bigger than you. You got 10,000. They got 20,000. Why would you go all the way and then in the middle have to stop and send out a group to send out a delegation to find out the conditions of peace? It's the whole thing of saying you're changing your mind in the middle. And it tells us in Romans 8 that the whole world waits in great expectation for the revealing of the sons of God. Right now, we're living in times and in a country that is so blessed, they think their cost is only going to be what they can produce. They don't need God. I mean, we got fantastic, you know, innovative creations, the things people have come up with. We can do some really mighty things, some awesome things. But we still are lost if we think we can finish the journey without God. When our education is more important than reading the word. and our degrees. We're lost. We will be losers, and God made us winners. Amen? So as you say, I'm a winner, you've got to take on those characteristics of a winner. It's funny, I saw a girl the other day, a young lady at Kroger's. She was swinging the shopping carts around at Kroger's. And she had a long line of shopping carts, and she was just swinging those things and moving them. I said, my goodness, girl, you're getting a workout. She said, well, listen, I majored in physiology in school. And she said, so I try to keep things going. I said, well, I can see your arms are bulging, dog. You know, she was in good shape. And so people who do whatever it is you do activities that will just promote that thing. I don't care what it is. Maybe you're into trains. Everywhere you go, you see a train. And it's like you can tell the call signs, and you know what type it is. Whatever it is, you surround yourself in that thing that you want to do. And when I say I'm a winner, I've got to start behaving like a winner. A winner practices. If I'm going to win in God's game, I got to be in my word. I got to be in prayer. I've got to be worshiping and praising. And I've got to ignore the enemy at times. I'm not saying let him be in your face slapping you around, but I got to ignore his words. So when he says you're a loser, you can't get anything done, I got to start now putting in what God says and bring that up and say, no, mm-mm. I'm a joint heir with Christ. I am the head and not the tail. I'm blessed. That thing that came against me one way will leave me split up in seven. You're going to have a beating on you, devil. God told me this. I'm a covenant partner with the Most High God. And I start saying these type of things, and so my behavior should start lining up. Amen? Now, if we look just a little bit further, this same scripture, he's talking about being a good disciple. And I will tell you, good disciples have hard times. But it can't be about, you know, having gravy train and everything being sweet. You want to win, it means you're going to have some hard times. It's just going through and not giving up. But look what it says here in 34. He still connects this in the same occurrence here as far as what he's sharing. He says, salt is good. But if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? And you know, you're the salt of the earth. What's supposed to happen, salt can preserve or salt can corrode. Depends the material that it's put up against. We are the salt of the earth. In one setting, we should be able to make something flavorful for someone, good to eat. At the same time, we should be able to drop on something, and if it's not pure, we should be able to eat it up. But through all this, where he's talking about being a disciple, being a follower, he talks about not, if you don't follow all the way through, how you're going to look, and it's going to be shame, and your enemy's going to look and laugh at you. Then he goes to this scripture that says, if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor for the dunghill, nor for manure, but men throw it out. If you have an ear to hear, hear it. I believe right now the world's throwing us out. Because we're salt that's lost its flavor. Why did we lose our flavor? Because in this day of convenience, this day when everything's right there and we don't have time to wait for it, we don't have time to study. You know, it's amazing the things that we get into, and we lose some of the time that God meant for us to have sharing and sharpening each other. We lose that. And so what happens is the world, they say, well, wait a minute. You're a Christian? How do I know? I don't see no power. I hear you saying some of the negative things I'm saying. I hear you talking about your boss just like I'm talking about my boss. I hear you cussing children just like I'm cussing them. You know? I hear you saying something, church, but I don't hear you meaning nothing. Now, I told you I really wanted this to be something to encourage you. The goal is for us to understand we are winners. But winning doesn't just come. It's not like a dog. You can say, hey, come. No. You're going to have to pay the time. You're going to have to, when you die to yourself, you stop making justifications for why you don't get it done. You stop saying, you know what? I could have done that, but. You don't talk like you're entitled. You talk like you're pursuing something. See, when you're entitled, you sit back and you say, serve me. But in God's kingdom, he says, I've done all this for you. Didn't I breathe breath into you? Now I'm just saying, praise me. The same breath I breathed into you, breathe it back out. It'll make a beautiful noise if you breathe it out. And sometimes we don't even come in here, act like we want to give him his breath back. He breathed into us and we became a living soul. He says, use your soul and command your breath to come back to me. Now, I'm talking in symbols, but what I'm really saying is we know God breathed into us and we became a living soul. Every breath you inhale is a gift. Every breath you inhale and exhale is a gift. It is his. So when he says, worship me, he's giving you the resource to do it. All he says is be obedient. But we are entitled here, not just in this church, but in the world. The church, the body of Christ, we have gotten so comfortable that we're kind of like, well, he should do it. He should do it for us. So much, I have a friend who lost a husband, and this individual I haven't seen for a while in the church. I don't know why that is. I just don't know. But there are people right now who get upset with God and say, well, why didn't he get to live? Why didn't she get to live? But God is the one who knows. We are not entitled to tomorrow. It's God's, right? So anyway, as we go through this and we're looking, how are we going to be good disciples? Good disciples will eat and chew up all of God's word that they can. Because what happens is as you get into God's word and you hide it in your heart, it'll keep you from sinning against him. You know, it tells us his word is supposed to be a lamp to our path as we step. Boom, you're supposed to throw that light in front of you. The light of God should be your guide. The word of God should be your light that guides you, right? But if you're going to be a good disciple, you got to chew that word up and know it. Now, I will tell you, when he started speaking to this, I said, oh, man, I'm the main one who need to hear this. I need to hear this. Because I need to consume his word. Sometimes I get so busy and things get kind of crazy. I don't consume it as much as I need to. So even as I was getting set for this, I was getting preaching myself happy. But if we're going to be victorious, we are going to have to eat up all that God is. Why? Because then when the enemy approaches you and says, God said, just like I didn't notice that young lady's name, Lisa McInnes, I knew her. I had already set my mind to hear a certain thing. When the enemy comes to me now and says, God told you, you got the wrong woman in Ivy. Now you know good and well, and he wants you to get it right. Now I know people who have left their marriages and said, I got the wrong one. God revealed to me I got the wrong one. That's a lack of Bible. You have not been in your word. Now, I tell you what, I'm still highly attracted to Ivy. She's fine. She is a fine young lady. But if I were not, It's a contract that keeps me. I don't mean to make that sound cold, but the truth is, I made a commitment. And if for a season she did not look as fine as she looks to me right now, and if I didn't get butterflies, I still said yes. That's what I need to do. That's what the Bible teaches me. Amen? I'm going to follow it through. Now, the enemy can try to come in and try to tell me to do something crazy, but if I've got the word in me, I'm going to say no. Just like I mentioned the other day when we were at a service and I heard the guy say something about tithe is no longer a requirement. Tithe is no longer a requirement. People amening in there. You know, tithe is no longer a requirement. It's just an act of worship. That's not scriptural. But you have to have chewed it up and know where it falls in order to deal with it. Amen? And so what I'm saying is if we're going to be successful, if we're going to be winners, we're going to have to consume God. We're going to have to follow him. And those times where your friends are going to the movie and he say, you can't go to that one. You got to say, okay, I hate myself. You know, I hate myself enough to do what God told me to do. Amen. I want to turn real quick over to Mark 11. I want us to see something. We have power. We have the ability to do some awesome things. Look here in Mark 11. I'm going to start in verse 12. This really is to encourage you because I was thinking about you who are going through some tough spots. You just lost loved ones. Your children have been, the devil tried to take out your children, but Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Still here. Oh, we're still here. Thank you, God. But look here, Jesus, he's dealing with this fig tree. In Mark 11, 12, it says, tell me if you're there, amen? Now the next day when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry, he being Jesus, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. It's important that his disciples heard it. All right, so here you got Jesus. He's hungry. He wants something to eat. He sees a fig tree from a distance, and it looks like it's in season because it's got leaves. So he sees it, and he comes near because he's hungry. My goodness, he's hungry. And he sees something that looks like it should yield fruit. And he draws near to it, and there's no fruit on it. Now, I believe Jesus already knew it was not in its season, even when he saw it from afar off. He didn't have to get close to it to say it's not in its season. But he got close to it, saw there was no fruit, but there was leaves. Why did he curse it? I believe that fig tree, and it was a larger example, that fig tree represented something that was false. He knew it wasn't in its season, but why does it have leaves on it? Right? So, I mean, it's there. It's got leaves. It's saying, come eat me. And he draws near because he's hungry. Because he's hungry. He gets there to it, and there's no fruit on it. So he curses it and says, no one will ever eat fruit from you. And that thing's done. And his disciples heard him speak out of his mouth. Right? And so then, if you look over in 23... Verse 23, we've heard this over and over. Let's see. Well, actually, go to 20. It says, now in the morning, as they passed by, okay, they're coming back through. They heard what he said to the tree. They went home. They're chilling the next night. They slept overnight. The next morning, now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, Look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. And that literally translates, have the God kind of faith. Have God kind of faith. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to the this mountain be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. This type of authority doesn't just come because part of the believing that what you said comes from being a disciple. See, people can tell you words all day long, but until you rehearse them, until you meditate over them, like it tells you in Psalms 1, until you meditate on it and really get a fix on it, you get your mind trained on it, this is the same as flipping it to where now when you throw and you throw the basketball the whole length of the basketball court and it swishes, now it's in your thinking, that is to be expected. Anything less won't get it. When you start, but see, that doesn't just come because you live in a negative world. You live in a world that says, actually, you live in a world that's pleased when you fail. Because if you fail, then there's no pressure put on them to succeed. And it's kind of like, okay, cool. We can all stay back here at this level. It's cool. The pressure's off of me to succeed. So now, when I said he was hungry, and I kept emphasizing, he was hungry and he came to a tree that was putting on airs. The world, too, is hungry. And they're coming to somewhere. I told you in Romans 8, it tells us the whole world is waiting in great expectation for the revealing of the sons of God. But God doesn't want his sons to show up and be a fraud. And right now, people have gone into the house of God for shelter and have been hurt, have been harmed, have started their own family Bible schools because they can't trust leadership at certain places. And so what happens is those who are hungry, they say, oh, where's the place to eat? I heard the church is a good place to go. And when they draw near, you look all good, but where's the fruit? So when he said, don't be salt that lost your flavor, because where are you going to get your seasoning? He's trying to tell us, and I believe he really wants us to not talk the talk, but display the meaning. He wants you to be victorious. But you've got to get to a point, and me, I'm not speaking to you, I'm in this. We've got to get to a point where we pursue God with such a fervor that, I'm telling you, I'm just seeing, there's certain people I'm seeing right now. Well, every time I talk to my sister in Columbus, I am shocked. Because where I used to teach her things, she's starting to call me and tell me about a limb growing out. People, she's hungry. She's eaten everything. She just wants God, 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 God. Now, she's not so far out that she's no earthly good. Sometimes that's the extreme. We still got to live in this world. But she is so hungry, she expects when she prays for somebody to see it done. And last week, we prayed over Charity. Is Charity in here? I don't see her. But last week, we were praying, and she had a headache. And I just said, I'm tired of it, because I, too, want to get to the point that when we lay hands, we don't have to say you're going to feel better. God, Jesus, he did it then, and they got well. I want that, but I got to get my mind to expect it. I've gotten away from that. There used to be a time I would stand right there in the devil's face and I would be witnessing to someone and I say, let the devil tell you it's not true. I'll challenge him right now. show me what he can do. And God, I mean, I was serious. I was just, and God showed up every time. But over the years, I got soft. To where, when I pray sometimes, it's like, Father, just do a mighty thing right now. Make it a speedy recovery. No, when I'm done, I want it done. When I'm done, I want it done. Now understand, I know God is sovereign and he has a timing. So I'm not trying to supersede what God says. But in those situations where God too is saying, son, you could have done that right there. If you had faith and believe me, I want it done. Now we prayed over Charity. And what I say, I said, hey, is it gone? Because really, I was going to stop and back up and say, oh, hopefully it feels better. And I said, no, is it gone? Because God said, check it. Because if it wasn't done, we were going to keep praying. And I'm trying to tell you, that's where God wants us now. That's where he wants us. He wants us to get to the point where we will pursue him. I don't care if food is at home getting burned up and getting dry because we're waiting too long. I don't care if friends who we're supposed to be meeting up with is going on to the restaurant before us and they're going to eat and probably be done. But if God says stay and see your family member restored, what's important? That's what I'm telling you. It's not about me. It's not about my family. It's about not about anybody. It's about getting God's job done because that's what he wants. Amen. Now he says we can speak to the mountain. And I know good and well we've got mountains up in this place. Mountains that's been in our face over and over and over. And I got to be specific real quick. I didn't tell you this because I didn't want to call you out. But when we were worshiping and you had your hands up, the milk was falling on you. The milk was falling on you. I don't know what you're going through, but what God was telling me is it's almost like you're an infant and he's going to treat you like a baby again. Not that you can't handle meat, but he said he's going to cater to you. He's going to make it loud. He's going to make it clear and he's going to feed you. And you're going to be strong. That milk does good for a body. Amen. It's going to be awesome. So here's what I want you to hear. You are a winner. It is yours to get. But we got to get to getting. I'm serious. We've got to get to getting. And when there's some things on people you love and God's told you to speak to that, you can't sidestep it. You might offend them. They might decide, I'm not hanging with you no more. But that's where it comes into, I love Christ more. So much the contrast between me loving Christ and loving you is it looks like I hate you. In comparison with the way I love God, it looks like I hate you. Because I love him. Amen. And if he told me to tell you this, if he told me to tell you to stop shacking up with so-and-so, I'm not going to try to spare your feelings. I love you. I'm not judging you, but if God tells me to tell you that, I'm going to speak it. May never have you as a friend again. I'm sorry. I wish you would be my friend. But I want to please God. And when I'm trying to be a disciple and do what God says, when I'm on a bus and God says, lay hands on them, and I'm like, these people know me as a businessman in the community. I told you to lay hands on them. But what if it don't work? Hate yourself, love God. When you hate yourself and love God, you'll just do what he says. That means I don't care about my reputation. Call me a fool. Okay, I'm dead anyway. I tell you the truth, I was going to give this a title, and I'm almost done. I was going to give this a title today, but I chose not to because I wanted to be respectful, but I was going to be going to die already. Seriously, that was going to be the title. And I said, in light of everything that's been going on, that's out of, I didn't want to be distasteful. But the truth is, going to die already. So God can do his thing. You're still kicking. And God told me, he said, as long as you're still kicking, I can't do what I need to. He's waiting for you to die. Yeah. Then he can come in, pick that thing up, and it will be all him. Amen? Come on and stand up. Father God, we want to go with you. We want to do what you have for us to do. Oh, God, we want the world to look. Mm-mm. We don't want them to see salt that has no flavor. We don't want them to come here and not be able to find fruit. This is a good place. These are good people here. I thank you that they will have fruit, Father God, to pick from us. I thank you we will have time to give them our fruit. Not just here at this church, Father God, but as we go out into our areas of influence, Father God, help us to recognize those who are hungry. Those who have come for one reason, and that is to eat our fruit. Father, let an alarm go off in our spirit that says, this is the occurrence I've set up for you. This is a divine appointment. Help us to see those, Father God, and not walk past them because we're busy. I thank you, Father God, for doing what only you can do. Hallelujah. We're going to go with you, Father God, and we will share what you've done. We will tell it. We will tell it. The disciples heard you curse that tree, and they saw it be done. That built their faith, Father God. I thank you that we too will share the things you've done. We will speak it out and not be ashamed. And it will build our faith, our corporate faith in this place, Father. We thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for this podcast is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, Romans 10:9 makes it extremely simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at www.bethel.org. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. I hope you have a blessed day.